Chicago. This is your new morning routine. Cap and J-Hood. Follow Cap J-Hood on Twitter and Instagram. Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago. Stream the show on the ESPN Chicago app on ESPN 1000. And now on FM at 100.3 HD2. Now, on Chicago's home for sports, David Kaplan and Jonathan Hood.
Packers happy to have him wrapped up long term. That 4-year extension that he signed this spring. Says Green Bay's become home. He's got the ball here. He surges through the hole and explodes across the 40. Still going near midfield for Aaron Jones. Play action again. Rodgers given all day. Underneath again, Jones. A stiff arm to get free. Aaron Jones into the end zone. Touchdown. Boy, just threw Gibson off him and then accelerated for the score. Second down and 10. Bears try to collapse that pocket. Rodgers has Adams wide open. He stays on his feet. Down the sideline. Devontae Adams is in. Touchdown, Green Bay. And now one of the officials runs up. They come together. And they're going to say that he was out back at the 21. Rodgers snaps it quick. Pressure coming. Scrambles to his right. Pumps and runs. Aaron Rodgers is inside the pylon. Touchdown, Packers. It's Rodgers running for the score.
Bring them out. Bring them out. Bring them out. Bring them out. Woo! Bring them out. Bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out.
I own you. I effing own you. Yes, GOAT, you do. You are the GOAT in this rivalry. Good morning. Welcome in. Cap J. Hood, ESPN 1000. Watch us on Twitch, brought to you by 3Chi. You can join the chat there. Follow us on the app. And it's all on a Bears Monday, brought to you by your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Acura dealers. The great Jonathan Hood. I'm David Kaplan. Hoodie, you were safely ensconced in front of your big screen in the Hood Cave. I was over at TV, but we both watched the same thing. An offense that can't score enough points.
That is really the bottom line of the game yesterday. We talked about this on Thursday and Friday leading into Sunday's game, Cap, is that it was going to be an uphill climb for the Bears anyway against Green Bay. To your point, you said there was an opportunity for the Bears to win the game because you didn't think that Aaron Rodgers would be spectacular. And guess what? He was not. And you said, well, you know, maybe Justin Fields can make enough plays for the Bears to win. They did not. Bottom line is that Aaron Rodgers, 17 for 23, 195 yards and a couple of touchdowns, he doesn't have to be great. He just has to make a certain amount of plays to beat the Bears. That's exactly what happened. You cannot win in this league and fade away in the second and third quarter like the Bears did offensively. I'm all for running the football, 140 yards total, but you cannot be one-dimensional on offense. Like, I'm happy about what the offensive line did. Give them their flowers this morning because the offensive line, no matter if it's Montgomery, doesn't matter if it's Damien Williams, doesn't matter if it's Herbert, there's gaps that are open for the running game to percolate. But if that's all you can do offensively in this league in 2021, you're going to lose, just like the Bears did on Sunday.
So I want to read you a stat. And if you think back to January of 2017, the Bears hire Matt Nagy. And the quotes, you can go back and find them because I did. The quotes say, we brought Matt in here because he's revolutionary offensively. He's going to develop Mitchell Trubisky. We're going to get modern with our offense. We're going to score points. He was brought here to score points. Was that a fair statement?
That is correct.
Okay. He's been the head coach 56 games, including the playoffs. Mm-hmm. 27 times now. 27 times the Bears have scored 20 or less.
Yeah.
27 of 50. That's almost 50% of the time this dude is scoring less than 20 or less. He is a really nice man. They have a really good culture up there. I'm tired of watching this 1947 offense not get in the end zone. That's it. It can't continue this way. It cannot. Finish out the season. I said earlier, I'd love to have him as my neighbor. Really nice man. He'd be a great neighbor. Boy. Hey, did you see? Matt shoveled your driveway for you.
Yes.
Like, you're a really good dude. Have a barbecue. You want to have a cocktail in the backyard? Yeah. I don't want you coaching my football team. That's just a fact. You've had enough time. It doesn't work.
I don't understand your angle on that. I mean, he's not calling the plays. He's just the head coach. Why blame him?
Because everything... Hold on a minute.
Whatever happens, it goes through me.
Period.
I don't know. That's Bill Lazor's offense out there, is it not?
He's not good enough either.
Oh, I see. He's not good enough.
I want a whole
either.
New staff in here.
Well, you're not going to get what you want right now. You'll eventually get it, but you're not going to get what you want right now. Listen, like the Bears were going to lose against the Packers. They were going to lose. But I wanted the Bears to show some semblance of offense where you say, you know what? They lost, but boy, it's getting better offensively. There is a cross-section of blame that I can give to Bill Lazor, to Matt Nagy, and Justin Fields, and the ineptitude of the offense. Mm-hmm. Greg Olsen does a great job. I'm not saying he's a great broadcaster, but he does a great job as far as explaining what's going on out there. This new iteration of Fox color analysts, I don't know if they've been trained this way or if I don't know what it is, but they're telling you the truth. Like Aqib Talib or Mark Sanchez or Greg Olsen yesterday, that guy is a Bear. I don't care where else he's been, he's a Bear. And he's watching this offense, and you saw this as well in the fourth quarter, and he's got the telestrator and he says, look at this situation. Late in the fourth quarter, you need a first down. You don't necessarily need a touchdown. Why are you going three wide, going right to the end zone when you really need something underneath to matriculate the ball down the field to at least get in the field goal range? Like Justin Fields looks at that and says, there's nobody open. What am I supposed to do, right? Mm-hmm. So when no one's open, he's got to run. And again, we talked about that last week too, and it came to fruition. He actually did run a little bit more. But Olsen is explaining like, you are tying Justin Fields' hands when he needs to just get the ball to the first down and just keep the offense moving instead of these big plays that are not there because these guys can't get separation. I'm talking about Mooney. I'm talking about Robinson. I'm talking about all the other receivers that's supposed to be out there to help Fields. Olsen explained that, I thought, very well yesterday.
I agree with you. I think he's very good. I think he's a good dude. It's an appealing broadcast.
Yeah, but he showed on the telestrator. He goes, what is Justin supposed to do when everyone else is covered?
That's why just continue to let the kid play, let him learn on the job. You know, there were a few mistakes he made yesterday. You can't take two sacks when he took them. Did you hear the last question of his press session, by the way? The last question is Hubarkish. Mm-hmm. The sacks that you took at the end, did the speed surprise you? And he just looked at Hub and went, no. And he walked off the stage. It's yeah. Like... I'm not going to engage there. Kenny Clark's a hell of a player, man.
Yes. Did Hub understand the last time he was asked that question? He goes, you know what? I'm not going to engage in that. So why did Hub do that? Just had to be the stick in the beehive.
I guess.
Again, asking that same question. Yes, the speed of the game is catching up to him. Yes. No question about that.
Like, I see some good things from Justin. Like the drive that they got the touchdown to make it 17-14.
Yeah.
5 for 5. He threw some dimes in there. I'm talking darts. He threw one over the middle to Allen Robinson. It was a fastball.
Yeah.
Boom. Cole Kmet, good to see him with 49 yards receiving, 5 targets, 4 catches. You can't think you've got a free play. Allen Robinson breaks off his route and... How many times did we scream at Mitch when there would be an offsides and he wouldn't take a shot down the field? Yeah. This kid's been coached properly to take a shot. The problem is they missed the call.
Mm-hmm.
You got to make sure. You got to give a look. You got to know there's a flat, whatever it is. You could tell they were trained. Mustafa saw the jump. Bam. Snaps it automatic. Got him. What do you mean, no? Where's the flag?
Right.
And you'll get a letter today from the NFL or tomorrow. Yes, this is Al Riveron or whoever the hell the head of officiating is now. Mm-hmm. We're sorry. We missed that one. Yeah, well, it costs you a chance for points.
There's no doubt that that was an offsides call that was missed, but you can never assume, right? Never assume in that spot that the referees are going to call that play. 3rd and 7 in the first quarter, that was offsides.
Correct.
Without question, and the official missed it. But again, you can't just assume, right? Oh, you know, of course that's offsides. Well, you don't see any flags, and you just can't throw it to freaking Rockford. Okay, you can't do that. We know you have a strong arm, but it's got to be accurate, man. You got to be able to have the temerity to say, okay, if I'm going to throw it down there, Mooney, you got to catch it, or Robinson's going to catch it. On that free play, by the way, with Robinson, it's, you know, I know he broke off his route. He probably wouldn't have got there anyway. It's Allen Robinson, after all, right?
He's not breakaway speed.
No, absolutely not. And it struck me. I knew this before, but it struck me when I saw Mooney get his first touchdown. I go, this hoodie season, man. It's the fall. He just got his first touchdown? That shows you how inept this offense is. He just got his first touchdown yesterday.
6 games in.
How ridiculous. I mean, whatever you think about Mooney, if you think he's going to be a number two when Robinson's gone, whatever. But he just got his first touchdown? That shows you where this offense is. And again, what we saw on Sunday, we've seen all our lives as Bears fans. You know what we saw? We saw a defensive line that was opportunistic for the Bears. We saw an underwhelming offense, and we saw Aaron Rodgers do just enough to win equals the Packers being the Bears again. That's the formula.
Well said. This is our opening drive brought to you by Northwestern Football, who just beat Rutgers. Good win for the Cats. You want tickets? NUSports.com.
You don't have to wait till you're in your car to hear what Cap and J-Hood are talking about. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Welcome to Letters with George. I'm owner George, and Ryan and Matt are football guys, and I'm a little under the weather today. So, as much as I love to be able to get to your letters, we'll have to do it another time. I talked to the team doctor, and he says that I have the Packer flu. So, thanks so much, and go Bears! Thank you. What are you doing? Mom? What are you doing? I'm not feeling very well. Get your ass out of bed! Mom, now get out of my room! I can't do it today! I'm not feeling well! Get your ass out of bed! What? Mom! Jeez! You've knocked me to the floor! Get out of bed! You've got work to do! He says he owns us! I own you! Get out of bed, you son of a bitch! Mom, get out of bed! We lost to the Packers again. Mom!
Jesus! I gotta go! I'll talk to you next time!
Get out of bed!
What, another edition of Letters with George! Jeez, Mom! My neck!
Mom's pissed. Bet she is pissed. Again. And then Wikipedia says Aaron Rodgers is the owner of the Chicago Bears. Pretty good. Love that feature. Thank you, George. Feel better, buddy.
Cap. J-Hood.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago.
That's why I see emergency.
Shot. No shot. With Cap and J-Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
That's why I see emergency.
Shot. Or No Shot is brought to you by the great people at PointsBet Sportsbook at Hawthorne Racecourse. Teddy Greenstein and his staff cook up some amazing promos and name a bets for you. And the PointsBet Sportsbook is now open. My friend Ryan called me yesterday and said, hey, I went to the one at Prospect Heights. They had a tent outside. Just sign up right there. Done. Download their PointsBet app right now. Stop by either Hawthorne, Crestwood, or Prospect Heights and register your account. Good morning, Danny Zetterman.
Good morning, gentlemen. Happy Victory Monday.
Unless you're a Packer fan, that doesn't exist here.
Cap, today. I don't know if you know this or not, but the Chicago Sky won the WNBA championship. So
that's
it is
true.
Indeed a Victory Monday on the Cap and J-Hood show.
Good point.
The Sky win the WNBA championship. And by the way, there's a special podcast in the Cap and J-Hood feed right now where we hear from Rachel from our staff. Rachel was there at Wintrust. She has no voice. Last night, she's got no voice this morning because she was yelling and screaming for the Sky. She's been there to all the games and the playoffs. So we talked to Rachel. We hear from Candace Parker as well on the podcast. So right now on the Cap and J-Hood feed on the ESPN Chicago app. You're looking for your Sky coverage? We have it here on the show live this morning, but also last night. A nice long podcast right there on the Cap and J-Hood feed.
There you go. Take that. Danny.
So happy for them.
Gentlemen, to the Chicago Bears, who we've spent the majority of the first hour discussing. In the three games in which Bill Lazor has been calling the plays for the beloved, the team is averaging 19 points a game. 19 points a game, guys. Yesterday, aside from two solid drives, the offense once again was lifeless. I simply ask you, shot or no shot, offensive guru Matt Nagy takes control of the offense once again as the Bears prepare for the high-scoring Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the GOAT, Tom Brady.
Yeah, there's no shot. No shot. It's not going to happen. Look, it's like blaming. This is a shot at my partner, by the way. It's like blaming David Ross because the Cubs had a bad team this year. They got bad players. The Bears don't have enough talent, period. And I don't want this guy any longer than we have to influencing that young quarterback because I've seen enough to know that kid can play.
Well, you know, using that same metaphor, we'll just say the same thing for Matt. It's not Matt's fault. Matt just didn't have enough offensive talent.
He's been here 4 years.
Yeah?
The talent keeps changing. The scheme keeps sucking.
No, it's still Robinson as the head of the snake. He's still there. So they just have enough talent. So Matt probably should get extended.
No shot.
Well, this is why you hold people accountable. The David Ross thing is because you hold players and you hold managers and coaches and people in power accountable. Big boy market. Big boy standards.
Correct. But if you don't have a chance to win, Matt, hey, Matt, what do you want for a running back? I want David Montgomery. Got him. Who do you want for a receiver? I want Allen Robinson. Got him. Who do you want here? Got him. Mm-hmm. I want Robert Quinn on my team. Got him. Who do you want to draft? I want to draft Justin Fields. Done. At some point, it ain't working.
Yeah, Ryan Pace is at fault as well for that.
No question about it.
I mean, because he's the one that bags the groceries and brings the groceries home.
Completely agree with you. You can't miss on how many top tens? Kevin White, Leonard Floyd, Mitchell Trubisky. You can't keep missing there. Add in Shaheen. Who else did he take in the second round that didn't work out? Grasu in the third. Like, there's a bunch of high picks, man, that should be active and playing a role on this roster, and they're not.
So Nagy and Ross for extensions. And Colleton. So I would say...
He already got his.
Well, yeah. Deserved, right?
Yeah.
No deserved,
shot.
Right?
No shot.
No? So.
Boy, that hockey team sucks.
So,
Danny.
So, Danny, I would say my answer to that is no shot for the Tampa game, but he will be the coordinator again. He will be calling the plays again at some point this season. He can't help himself because there's going to be a free fall here for the Bears right into Thanksgiving, looking at the schedule. Danny.
Gentlemen, simple question, shot or no shot. 2021 is the last year Aaron Rodgers will, quote-unquote, own the Chicago Bears as a member of the Green Bay Packers.
That is a shot. Apparently, he was looking to move on. And boy, do you really want to be, do you want to really say, Cap, hey, I don't want to be here anymore, and then all of a sudden come back the next year?
Yes, I think he is going to come back the next year because I think they're going to make sure that they continue to get his input. Things will change a little bit around there. They're keeping him.
No shot. He'll want to leave. But here, I'll be on your side only in this regard. I don't know what jobs are open because if you are Aaron Rodgers, you don't want to go to Jacksonville. You don't want to go to some moribund franchise. You want to go someplace where you can win, right?
Correct.
That was supposed to be San Francisco.
Correct.
But they have Trey Lance and they have Garoppolo. So I don't know how that works now. Because if he does want to leave Green Bay, I don't know where else he wants to go that he thinks he can win a championship besides New England.
Boy, correct. Miami's a nice place to live.
Boy, that's not a good outfit right now.
Wow.
Nice job there.
Talk about screwing up, taking Tua with a hip injury, and leaving Justin Herbert on the board. Jeez.
Get Abdallah so mad at you.
Remember when Abdallah was saying tank for Tua? Oh, God.
Well, it's an Alabama quarterback. But the Alabama quarterback that's actually pretty steady right now is Mac Jones. Even in a loss, I thought he was impressive the other night.
And he's yesterday. And Tua's okay. He's not horrific.
No.
But, my God.
But the injuries, though.
Yeah, no question.
Danny.
Gentlemen, Allen Robinson has 21 receptions for 234 yards and one touchdown. All those stats I mentioned are nowhere near the top of the wide receiver list and when it comes to statistical categories. I ask you guys, gentlemen, shot or no shot, Allen Robinson is playing himself out of top 20 wide receiver money.
Can I phone a friend?
Sure.
Jeff Mellor. I meant you, Jeff. What's up.
Yes, Hoodie. What's up, buddy?
What's up? Yeah, I'm talking to you.
I'm here, buddy.
I need you.
In spirit.
When I said friends.
I'm here in spirit, Hoodie.
it was late night baseball. You can't blame that. What's the matter with you? What's up? I mean you.
You know when JR's off, there's a lot of stuff, a lot of balls in the air, Hoodie.
If you're proud of the expression. Now, you all right, Cap?
I'm good.
I just want to ask the question from a fantasy standpoint, top 20, right? I've always tried to hold firm that Robinson's like top 10, and I can't do that now. So if we say top 20, is he a top 20 wide receiver, Jeff?
No.
Top 25.
There's a lot of good wide receivers in this league. I think what he's showing you is that he can be good, but no, he's not. I don't think he is commanding the money, you know, especially with his play here, that you need to get tied up in any long-term deal. I'm sorry, there's just so many good wide receivers coming in the draft every single year because of the proliferation of the spread offense around college football. Every year, there's studs coming out. Look at Ja'Marr Chase already.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Correct.
And
now,
and to quote Field Yates, he just learned how to catch in August. And look what he's doing in the professional level.
Did you see the block he had on the Joe Mixon touchdown yesterday?
Yes, I did.
That was a guy engaged about getting guys into the end zone.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he took that dude and shoved him to the ground.
I saw it.
And then let Mixon celebrate. And then they came over and embraced. And I'm like, how come we don't have a dude like that?
He would have shoved Eddie Jackson all the way to the locker room.
Yeah, Eddie Jackson. We'll get into Eddie Jackson. He should worry about other things. We'll get into that.
So that's a no shot,
right?
No shot.
I kept saying to you, I didn't think he was a top 10 receiver.
I was trying.
He is a very good football player. Yeah. This is not to denigrate the man's abilities. He doesn't have top-end speed. He isn't a top-end athlete. He's a good player.
But doesn't complain.
Correct. He just plays.
Yeah, so he doesn't complain when he could complain. He could bitch about how he's not getting the football, but he doesn't complain, but he's just not top 20. Don't tell his agent I told you that, but that's what it is.
Agreed.
Danny.
Gentlemen, with her two WNBA championships, most recent coming yesterday with the Sky, her two WNBA MVPs, her two NCAA titles, and a pair of Olympic gold medals, Candace Parker's legacy in hoops is extremely special. I ask you guys, shot or no shot, Candace Parker is the most successful basketball player to come out of our wonderful city.
Oh, that's a good one.
Successful player. To come out of our, you're talking all time.
All time, David.
That's a really great question. Damn it, Danny. That's a segment there. Okay.
Well, we can revisit.
That's really good. Yeah, because I didn't know where you're going with that. I thought you see, this is why Danny's is a genius. He did not just couch it to just women's basketball. He's talked about basketball all time.
Correct.
Men or women. Okay, so Isaiah Thomas is at the top of that, one of the top people in that list, right?
Mm-hmm.
Coming out of Chicago. I know that you want to put KG in there so bad, but sorry, he's from South Carolina.
How about George Mikan?
Who?
George Mikan.
Who'd he play for?
The Minneapolis Lakers, DePaul. He's from Joliet. Who? Oh, and he won 5 NBA titles. 5. And he's considered to be Mr. Basketball. They named the famous drill all the big men do, the Mikan drill. George Mikan is right there.
Quinn Buckner could be on the list.
All right, let's get back to the Mikan. Okay. You're not a GN anymore, okay? Don't be bringing up these old names.
I've got to be fair.
Everybody who was guarding him was 5'11 with Coke bottle glasses and wearing a belt.
Hey, man, he can only play who he's playing against.
Get out of here with that Mikan. All right.
How about Quinn Buckner?
Now, Quinn Buckner,
two high school championships, yeah. The state championship. I mean, the two high school state titles. Won the NBA or the
NCAA
with
and
Indiana.
NBA.
Won the NBA and won the gold medal.
Okay. That's right up there. Isaiah's up there.
How many did Cassie Russell win?
But is anybody within the 80s that you could bring
Mark
in?
Mark Aguirre?
Yeah.
He's a great player.
Yeah. But Candace Parker, though, won the two high school championships with Naperville Central?
At least one. I'm not sure about two, maybe.
Okay. The championship.
At Tennessee.
Two, right, Danny, did you say?
Two NCAA championships, correct.
Okay, for Pat Summitt.
Yep.
Okay. One with the Sparks, one with the Sky.
Yep.
Olympic gold medalist.
Twice. She does everything in twos.
She's right there, man.
Well, this can we just put it this way? She brought home a championship that D. Rose and Jabari Parker and Dwayne Wade could not.
Correct.
Just saying. Like, all those Chicago people could not do that, and she brought a championship home. I think she's right there in the team photo.
No question about it.
I feel like we're missing someone. On the maybe not on the women's side, but definitely on the men's side.
Well, I mean, Dwayne Wade's list of accomplishments is great, but he never won an NCAA championship.
Correct. At Marquette.
He went to the Final Four.
Yeah.
And he lost to Kansas.
Do you remember the score of that game, Danny?
Yeah, Kansas just wiped the floor.
It was
with
like
them. 110-12.
Yeah. He had to twist the knife there. I like that.
He never faced a guy like Kirk Heinrich before. He didn't know what he was up against, that Dwayne Wade character.
That crap, Dan.
So
you Anthony know? Davis?
All right, that's enough of that.
I'm just. He's won the NBA title, he won the college title.
Okay.
He was player of the year.
Okay.
Isaiah, for sure.
The big giraffe writhing in pain from perspectives.
Listen, I know that I'm the pettiest guy. I could be a petty guy sometimes. But shouldn't an Isaiah not be on the list because of the not wanting to shake hands?
I almost don't want to say
he's from here. That is just a horrible representation of who we as Chicagoans are.
He's more of a Chicagoan than a Piston. How about that?
Well, should have shaken hands.
Wow.
But you know what? I think Danny's right. Can we find someone with the accolades that can match the ace, Candace Parker?
This hour brought to you by Northwestern Football, Chicago's Big Ten team. College football returns to Wrigley Field this fall for the first time since 2010. Join Northwestern Football when they host Purdue in the Wildcats Classic on November 20th. Tickets on sale now at Cubs.com/football.
Listening to Cap and Jay Hood at home is easier than setting your coffee maker.
This picture of domestic happiness is missing something.
Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
What a way to start the day.
Cap and Jay Hood.
On Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000.
Shine bright like a diamond. Shine bright like a diamond.
Lead is 7 for Phoenix. Quigley hits again. 26 from Allie Quigley. Taurasi's slow to get up. Here comes Chicago. 5-on-4. Copper gets free. It's a one-possession game. Chicago down three. Vandersloot gives it up. Parker to tie. You bet. Vandersloot gets the screen from Dolson. Eight to shoot. Vandersloot stops. Fades. Pass. Yes. It's a two-possession Chicago lead. Griner's three. Rebound Parker. She's left alone. Is she the first? Dolson for the first time.
We have a champion in our city. We have a champion. They are the Chicago Sky, and it was head up against Bears Packers, and it was sold out. Amazing. You saw celebrity sightings. You saw athletes in our town, Bulls, Blackhawks, White Sox, Cubs, Justin Fields, for crying out loud, Friday night, front row, sitting there with Roquan. I thought it was awesome. I thought it was a really cool emotional moment for Candace Parker. That game ends. Her daughter comes on the court. They're hugging. Candace is crying. And she's from here. She went to grew up in Naperville Central. And she said, I want my daughter, because she's divorced. Yeah. I want my daughter to be around my parents and my family, and I want them to get to know each other more than they did when she was living in L.A., and I want to bring a title back to my city, Chicago, and she did it.
So, Cap, you know that I've been watching the Sky. I've been telling you about these stories about the Sky all playoff long, some in the regular season, but mostly in the postseason, right? Mm-hmm. So I always tell you, hey, you know, you should bet the Sky. They're going to beat Connecticut tonight. They're going to beat the Aces tonight. They're going to beat the Mercury tonight. You know, so, you know, I've been watching these games. The story of the Sky is very interesting to me. Obviously, congratulations on them winning the WNBA championship. And it was just a great moment because on screen two, I'm watching the Sky while I'm watching the Bears, you know, trickle it down their leg again against the Packers. So at least I had a good Sunday watching the Sky win the championship. But, you know, this team started off, you know, going into the playoffs 16-16. But when they debuted in 2006, they were a 5-29 team that nobody cared about. They missed the playoffs seven straight seasons. They had one, they had a couple of stars, but one particular, and Elena Deladon and Sylvia Fowles. So they had some high draft picks. Deladon got the Sky to the WNBA Finals in 2014. They were swept by the aforementioned Phoenix Mercury. So then Deladon goes to the Washington Mystics, and then they're able to build through the draft, just like the Bulls, just like anybody. Vandersloot, Courtney Vandersloot played for Gonzaga. She was a number three pick. She was surprised that she was a number three pick. She's now blossomed into one of the best point guards in that league. As a matter of fact, she's had triple doubles. I think she's second in triple doubles in playoff history in the WNBA. That's how good she is. Her wife, Allie Quigley, who went to DePaul, they are a terrific 1-2 punch on the floor. You add that with the MVP in Copper, Kalia Copper, from Philly, and she gets into the opposing players' faces. She didn't care.
She made a play on the break Friday night. I was watching the game.
Yeah.
And they get on that run where they blew the game open. She made a move on the break, and I looked and went, okay, I don't care who's playing and what level. That is as good a move as I've seen.
Copper is a really great player.
Great.
And who is she pushed by? Candace Parker. Candace Parker is the one that is really the wind beneath her wings. And again, we got to give Parker all the credit because, Cap, she already had a Hall of Fame career. She won her one WNBA championship with the Sparks of Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
But as you just laid out, she wanted to come home. right?
Yep.
Wanted to come home, win a championship. And she comes here. She had some injury situations, some issues in the regular season, but it was a catalyst. I'm watching these timeouts, and James Wade, give him credit. He's the head coach. But it's almost like Parker's the co-coach because Wade's like, okay, all right, ladies, here's what we need to do. And there's Parker screaming right over his shoulder. All right, just be ready on the out of timeout. Be ready. It's just like, well, Wade's the coach, but it's like Parker's right there, right?
Yeah.
Because she's a leader.
No question.
All this does not happen, Cap, without the ace being there. Candace Parker.
She put it all together.
It's just an awesome time if you are a Sky fan. And it says a lot about the city, right? As you said, full house at Soldier Field. Just a few blocks down, Sky, full house at Wintrust.
Sold out.
You it was get a awesome. Ticket. So I'm overjoyed for them because the WNBA always is all those ladies, they look at people look at it as less than. It's as good of basketball as it's ever been in the WNBA. When it first started, you know, there was some players there, there was some names, but you take a look at that matchup. You know, this guy took on what I consider three Hall of Famers? Brittany Griner is 6'9". She's unstoppable.
She had 28 in the game, I think.
Yeah, and she's unstoppable. Unstoppable. Like, there was no matchup for her, for this guy. Then Skylar Diggins-Smith, who played at Notre Dame, who also I think is a Hall of Famer.
And Diana Taurasi.
Who's the GOAT. Some would say the GOAT.
Some would say he's the greatest women's player ever.
And Cheryl Miller said, hold my beer.
Correct. And Ann Myers said, hang on a second, I got drafted by the Pacers.
Right. So they beat a really good team.
Yes.
And they're the WNBA champions. After having a 500 season, they're able to come through. There's further coverage of this on the Cap and J Hood podcast feed right now. Mm-hmm. If you go to it, it's right before hour one of our show today on this Bears Monday, where I talked to Rachel from our staff. We're going to see her in a few minutes. She's got no voice left after yelling at the game. And you'll hear from Candace Parker as well on that same podcast. So if you're a WNBA fan or a fan of what this guy did, we got the coverage for you on our podcast feed, Cap and J.